Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees under blue skies. Today's Thursday, August 30th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. One person was sent to the hospital after a pickup truck collided with a school bus on Halibut Point Road near Sandy Beach yesterday afternoon. There were no reported injuries to students aboard the bus who were middle and high school age. Wednesday was the first day of school. The accident happened shortly after 3:30 p.m. when a white pickup truck rear-ended the school bus as it pulled to a stop to allow students to disembark. The truck was reportedly traveling at considerable speed. Sitka Fire Chief Dave Miller said one person had to be extracted by rescuers who cut the top off the vehicle. The passenger was transported to Mount Edgecombe Hospital. His or her name has not been released. Again, no one on board the bus was reported injured in the accident. A second school bus came to take students the rest of the way home. Raven News will provide more details on this story as they become available. Police have made an arrest in connection with a burglary at the Baranoff Island Brewing Company. Sitka police obtained an arrest warrant for 22-year-old Carl Liberty Jr. He was picked up in Craig on August 24th. He faces charges of second-degree burglary and theft. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Police say Liberty broke into the brewery on June 2nd. He's accused of stealing more than $900 in cash and several 22-ounce bottles of beer. A felony complaint in district court details a list of people who came forward with information on Liberty. He was identified by someone court documents call a concerned citizen. Another person listed in those documents only by his initials told Sitka Detective Ryan Silva that he was with Liberty the night of the break-in and watched him do it. Liberty's brother-in-law also contacted police to report him as the burglar, and police obtained a recording of a phone conversation between Liberty and his sister. During that phone call, police say Liberty told his sister that he burned the backpack and hat he wore the night he broke into the brewery, and that he committed the burglary because, quote, something tugged at me, and it seemed like a good idea at the moment. The brewery obtained video footage of the break-in and posted it to its Facebook page. It was too fuzzy to make out a face, but later they posted more pictures of Liberty from his own Facebook page, with his face partially obscured. They threatened to reveal his identity on Facebook completely if he did not come forward. Brewery owner Rick Armstrong confirmed Liberty is the person whose image was posted to the company's Facebook page. Liberty is only charged, of course, and is innocent until proven guilty. But Armstrong says he feels police got the right man.
Now you have all the court stuff and talking with the attorneys and what's going to happen and where we go from here and things I'm not supposed to say and things I can say. So it's definitely a long ways to go, but I'm just happy that he's been arrested and knows he didn't get away with it.
Liberty is in jail in Craig on $2,500 bond. He's being represented by the Public Defender's Office, which declined to comment. His next hearing is scheduled for early September. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The plaintiffs in a four-year-old citizen lawsuit against the city of Sitka are asking the Superior Court to allow their local ballot proposition to move forward. Joe Geldhoff, the attorney for Sitkins for Responsible Government, this week filed a response to arguments made earlier in the summer by the city that claimed the ballot proposition remains confusing and illegal, despite a Supreme Court ruling suggesting otherwise. Sitkins for Responsible Government is the name Jeff Farver and Mike Littman gave their two-man organization in 2008 when they tried to put a question on Sitka's municipal ballot. Although this case has been going on for 4 years, the ballot question itself is not complicated. Farver and Littman want to give voters the authority to ratify the sale of any municipal property at Sawmill Cove worth over $500,000 and to ratify the lease of municipal property out there worth over $750,000. Their numbers are not arbitrary, and their language, at least in the view of the Supreme Court, is not confusing. In fact, this is exactly how Sitka General Code covers municipal property transactions every place else but Sawmill Cove. Nevertheless, the city of Sitka, led by municipal attorney Teresa Hillhouse, has resisted the ballot proposition tooth and nail, first by refusing to certify the initiative petition, despite its having the required number of signatures, and secondly, by continuing to fight the matter after Littman and Farver took the issue all the way to the Supreme Court and, for the most part, won. The justices gave the city an opening, however, by remanding the case back to the trial court in Sitka to resolve some arguments raised during the proceedings, but not specifically appealed before the Supreme Court. And that's where things stand now. Sitka filed its supplemental briefing back in July, and Sitkins for Responsible Government has filed its official response. In the 11-page document, Attorney Joe Geldhoff responds to the city's persistent claim that allowing voters to ratify property sales constitutes an illegal appropriation. He writes, "While the proposed initiative obviously deals with a public asset, the measure does not result in the allocation of an asset entirely to one group at the expense of another. In fact," Geldhoff says, "the proposed initiative is the antithesis of a giveaway program and is actually structured to serve as a check on the potentially misguided disposal of public assets." Geldhoff notes that the trial court back in 2008 did not find the proposed initiative to contain an illegal appropriation, and the city did not appeal the issue. That the city brings it up again now, Geldhoff finds curious. He writes, "The city should not now be allowed to again argue an issue previously decided, as if judicial proceedings were like some kind of decisional smorgasbord with an endless opportunity to litigate, relitigate, and litigate again a position on which a ruling has been entered." The brief concludes by asking the Sitka Superior Court to find the proposed initiative sufficient under relevant law and allow the citizens to vote on it. When that will happen is anyone's guess. A hearing before a judge, including possible oral arguments, has yet to be scheduled. For links to the supplemental briefings filed by both Sitkins for Responsible Government and the City of Sitka, plus previous reports on this issue, visit our website, kcaw.org. The race in House District 34 may become a race to watch this November. In the newly redrawn district, Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins is going up against Republican Representative Bill Thomas. Margaret Friedenauer from KHNS in Haines has this report.
The new boundaries now include Sitka in the district, which just happens to be Christ Tompkins' hometown. It also removed Skagway from the district, a community where Thomas held strong support. In Tuesday's primary, more people voted on the Democratic ballot than the Republican district-wide, so it wasn't statistically surprising that Christ Tompkins received more total votes than Thomas. But the candidate was still pleased with the turnout.
I think it's an exciting result any way you cut it.
That's the Democrat Christ Tompkins on Wednesday morning. Thomas, the Republican, garnered more votes in his hometown of Haines, but Christ Tompkins carried more votes from the nearby village of Cluckwan. But those numbers didn't bother Thomas at this stage in the game, he said.
Well, but you got to remember that this is a Democrat district, that I'm the first Republican to be elected in there, and a lot of the people can't vote. You had to take one ballot or the other.
In his first run for office, Christ Tompkins traveled the district extensively before the primary. He attributes the voter support he received from several of the villages as a sign that his campaign style is working.
I think it shows that hard work really pays off in these places. If you show that you're there to listen and to learn and to work hard, that really, I think, reflects on Election Day. And Cake and Heidelberg and Angoon, and also to a certain extent Metlakatla, spent a lot of time, and I've knocked on every door in those villages except for just a handful in Cake. And those were also the three villages that we had the most lopsided margin.
Thomas, a four-term legislator, said he's had a busy summer and hasn't spent as much time in Sitka as he would have liked. But he said he's not taking Christ Tompkins for granted as a challenger.
I never said he wasn't a worthy candidate, and I don't think anybody ever says he wasn't. I still think it comes down to experience.
It's unclear if the primary holds any preview of the general election race between Thomas and Christ Tompkins. But at least one person familiar with Southeast politics thinks it does. Democrat Scott McAdams is a former mayor of Sitka and previously ran against Republican U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. He said the primary votes show that the race for House District 34 will be close in the general election.
One of the things about Southeast Alaska, especially rural Southeast Alaska, is very hard to poll. It's very hard to gauge opinion. People during this time of year are busy with putting fish away. They're busy living traditional life. Folks aren't sitting by the phones necessarily answering poll questions. So for Jonathan to come out as a real force in this primary election, I think is a clear indicator of where the region's leaning.
For KHNS News in Haines, this is Margaret Friednauer.
Despite the failure of ballot measure 2 in this week's primary, Alaska could still reestablish its coastal management program. Lawmakers on both sides of the vote expect to work on the issue again next legislative session. Ketchikan Representative Kyle Johansson, who is facing a re-election challenge this fall, was glad voters turned down the initiative. Johansson and other opponents have said they are in favor of having some sort of coastal management program, but not the one proposed in the initiative.
There are better ways to write this bill. We had two options last year. A straight, simple extension of the current plan would have worked for me, or the bill that we passed out of the House 40-0 would have worked for me. But this piece of legislation that was on the ballot yesterday went far beyond those proposals, and I couldn't support it. So I'm pleased that we're not under that law right now.
Juneau Representative Beth Kurtula is hopeful that next session lawmakers can agree on a bill that could still bring back the program.
By virtue of my experience at this point, I'll help anybody who wants to work on this issue. It's such an important one, and I'm sorry that the initiative didn't pass, but I have to admit, we could see it. When we didn't have money for TV, for instance, until the dead last of the race.
Nearly 62% of Alaska voters said no to the Coastal Management Initiative on Tuesday, and just under 40% supported it. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for sunshine, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 61, light winds becoming west at 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, increasing clouds, areas of fog late, lows around 45, west winds 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. And Friday, increasing clouds, highs around 59 with light winds. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.